It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, you, and Ask the Law. Retired Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here for Ask the Law, so get on board right now. It is Ask the Law for May 4th, 2009, and we are live with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired from the Texas Highway Patrol. Remember, the information that you hear on this program is up to date as of today, May 4, 2009. Gary, how much rain at your house over the weekend?
I'm going to guess probably about 3 inches, and I say that by looking at my pool level.
Yeah, right. So. Okay. My rain gauge was taken down. We were doing some projects around the house, and I haven't been able to see mine. Trooper Dial says about 4 inches out at your place?
About 4 inches at my house in Garland.
Wow. So I guess that's somewhere around that for my house, although you would think more because of the saturated ground. It just had no place to go. It was all runoff, and we had this creek that goes through my little town, this little suburb that I live in, and that creek was, I mean, raging, roaring. Saturday afternoon, I was coming home from the hardware store, and I crossed the bridge of it, and, man, it was going.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really was.
I think there were a lot of areas that got a little more. We got hit with the last part of the storms yesterday. The first part of it really didn't go as far south of where I actually live.
Right.
But, man, just a ton of rain, and was it ever surprising? Because it was Saturday afternoon when, you know, getting ready for the, you know, to watch a little bit of the Kentucky Derby and a little bit of the golf, and all of a sudden the golf disappeared. You know, I was, you know, going around channel surfing, and I'm like, what in the world is this?
Right.
And all the video of the Dallas Cowboys practice facility, and the air-supported roof coming down, and now we know there's one serious injury there. We'll get to that a little bit later on here in the show. But, man, it was lots of rain, and no more brown spots on the lawn.
Well, I don't have any. We, on Friday afternoon, I had a contractor over putting some new insulation in my attic. And I thought to myself, and I'm mowing the lawn so he could, you know, stack up these big stacks of, by the way, I used green recycled material, Gary, just to let you know. Doing my part.
Well,
I didn't choose it. He brought it over, but hey.
Well, I've
got the whole brochure. It tells you everything that I used, tells you how many that I used, and my home is more green today than it was when I left here on Friday morning.
Well, then I guess I can go home. There's nothing for me to do. You can take over the entire show.
I can just, I have gone out there on the limb. I'm part of the reconditioning of America now, Gary. I can tell you it's the only way to go. And I in fact walked through some old growth forests and cried.
Well, I mean, you and you. Yeah, I wish I had that cut. I wish I had that cut right now from Earth First. Well, I'm full of guilt, and so and Monty just take over, and okay. I'll sit here in shame.
Okay, Earth Centers, 800-288-9227. But I had this contractor, and they're big. You know, they're big blocks of this stuff that you essentially break up, put it into the blower, and it's all stacked up on my lawn on Friday about noon. We start stacking it. And I'm trying to get the mower, you know, out of the way so they can stack it closer to the house. I'm thinking to myself, it's going to start raining, like, tonight or tomorrow. We've got to get this done. They were sure enough, they were there till 1 o'clock in the morning. I told them, just keep going. Just, if you want to work this late, if you guys are okay with it, I'm okay with it. I'll make as much coffee as you need. Just go. So three people, and they were, man, I'm telling you.
That's the kind of work ethic we need in this country.
it's an incredible thing to watch.
A lot cooler at night.
Well, it was, but they wouldn't, and probably, we probably wouldn't have gotten that done in July around here. All right, Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here to take your questions on hours of service, on regulations, 800-288-9227. A new study, this from fleetowner.com, Trooper, a recent study by the U.S. Department of Transportation's Volpe National Transportation Systems Center found trucking carriers that received hours of service regulations exemption as a part of the last round of highway reauthorization legislation reported higher crash rates than those that didn't obtain the waivers from those rules. The Volpe study found that agricultural carrier operating exclusively within the carriers operating within that 100-mile radius had a 19% higher crash rate than the agricultural carriers operating outside a 100-mile radius between 2005 and 2007. While the utility service motor carrier crash rates jumped by 40% during that same period. It's interesting because the overall truck-related fatalities have come down. We haven't seen the crash rates. I haven't seen the overall crash numbers. That would be all crashes, whether they have an injury or not, or a fatality or not. But the truck-related crashes have gone down. Does that number surprise you that these agricultural carriers operating within the 100-mile radius and using that exemption had a higher crash rate, 19%? Or, and I wondered this, do we see even in states like Texas, Iowa, you know, a lot of these growing states, is that just a relatively small amount of number of carriers on the road?
Not really. You go into the areas that have a high agricultural area. You go up into Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, timber's real big up there.
Right.
Texas, you know, we've got a little bit of everything down here.
So these are the and those folks up there cutting timber. They can also claim this agricultural.
Yes. And what it does is under the federal regulations, if someone is involved in agriculture,
right?
And agriculture can be growing the trees, cutting the trees, hauling the trees.
Okay.
You get into the planting. You plant it, you harvest it, you haul it, whatever. That's all agricultural related.
Okay.
If you stay within this area, basically hours of service do not apply to you. So you can get in that truck and you can drive 24/7.
Interesting. And they can work too, right?
Yes.
They can
yes.
do all whatever on duty functions they may have to take care of. They can take care of all those jobs.
Yes.
So some of these guys. Now, I don't know the logging industry, but some of these guys can get out there, I'm assuming, and grind a little, you know, axe and then load trucks or help load
oh, yeah.
trucks and do
yes.
whatever job there may be on the site and still stay within that as a driver.
Sure.
Because
what they'll do, typically what they'll do is the guys that actually cut the trees down.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're limited to daylight only.
Right.
But the truck driver that's actually hauling the logs, he may sit there and have to leave his residence at 3 o'clock in the morning
right.
to get out to where they have the timber stack.
Yeah.
Then he hauls as long as there's daylight, and sometimes he may not get home to his residence, you know, well after 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Wow. Interesting.
So, you know, he's not getting the 10-hour rest that
right.
everybody else is subject to.
Right. Interesting. I don't know that I've seen a study like this before. I certainly, if you have a study and the U.S. Department of Transportation is part of a study like this, there has to be some consideration maybe for future rulemaking based on this.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't, you know, it's something that they're always looking. And here again, like you said earlier, we don't know what percentage of these crashes involve the agricultural
mm-hmm.
industry, but those numbers are in the total number of crashes of trucks involved in crash.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
you know, like you're saying, increased 19%, well, everybody else may have gone down. Well, okay, what can we do? Let's do a study and look at these folks, and if we can get these folks under control,
mm-hmm.
then this number may even go lower.
Right. And I didn't see, again, an overall number as to how many more crashes overall. I'd like to see an overall number of how many crashes there were, and maybe what other items there were as far as crash-related items on these reports that may come back. I just think it's interesting. I don't necessarily you know, want to denounce this study or you know, just set it aside. I just believe that it's interesting as we see this, and it could be something where this part of the industry needs more attention right now.
Sure.
And no one's been focusing on it, like I said. And all the years that I've been here, I haven't seen a study like this. Doesn't mean it's not out there, but it could be that, that special interests are out there helping to promote this study and its results. I just don't know.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that when a, whether it be a local police department, a sheriff's department, or a state trooper, when they go out and investigate a crash, all of this data goes to Washington.
Right.
Washington has the capability of pulling out certain data or looking at certain data. And I'm sure this is probably one of the things that FMCSA got the folks there in Colorado to, okay, go in and pull this data out of our database.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at it and see is it warranted for us to take a special look at the people involved in the agricultural that stay within the radius area that exempts them from hours of service?
Right. Stephen Campbell is quoted in this story. You can find it by going to fleetowner.com. Mr. Campbell is the executive director of the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, and speaking of which, we want to talk about CVSA's RoadCheck 2009, which is coming up next month.
Yes.
I want to talk about your experience over the years with RoadCheck. We'll focus on that a little bit this month for Ask the Law, and also next month as it will follow Ask the Law's segment by just a couple of days. In June. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. Stand by. If you want to get on board, we have people already getting on board at 800-288-9227. You can also send us a text, 68683. Put MRN as the first word, 68683, and we'll get to your questions for Trooper Monty Dial on Ask the Law coming up here in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network.
It's Ask the Law. Get on board now. It is a service of Old Blue USA. You can go to askthelaw.org anytime and submit your questions there, or you can get on board now at 800-288-9227. Text us at 68683. Put MRN as the first word for Midnight Radio Network.
Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, or text us 68683. Put MRN as the first word in the first line. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA, Ask the Law, and it is for May 4th, 2009. By the way, all the information on the program is up to date as of today. You can go to askthelaw.org to submit your questions anytime. Askthelaw.org. Get on board, 800-288-9227 with your questions about hours of service, other regulatory items. You can also send us a text at 68683. Put MRN as the first word. We'll go straight to the phones.
Turn my microphone on. We go to Pete in Texas. Pete, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. I'm a retired police officer myself. I've noticed here lately that some of our large cities, I'm kind of surrounded by the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, the left-hand lane is being more or less abolished where truck drivers can't get into that left-hand lane.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed here lately, though, some of your truckers are getting into the other lanes, of course, and they're driving pretty erratic. And I'm just wondering if this is an experimental type thing that the state's doing, or are they going to put it back like it used to be?
Right now, Pete, TxDOT has commissioned a lot of the regional transportation entities to do some testing. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's a stretch of Interstate 30 that runs from just inside the Dallas County line over into Arlington, just before you get to Loop 820 on Interstate 20 down around Cedar Hill all the way through Lancaster, just before you get to I-45. And right now these are the ones here in this area, and it's a study to try to find out by limiting trucks to the other two lanes, will this help move traffic along?
Okay, that's what I was kind of wondering, because I've noticed I live right out of Venus, Texas. That's between Dallas and Fort Worth, about 30 miles from their area. And I noticed on 35, every once in a while I take 35 going to Fort Worth, and I noticed the left-hand lane there, it was kind of deserted by the big trucks. And I was wondering if they've imposed a penalty on that Interstate 35, or are you aware of that?
Not that I'm aware of.
They have mentioned that they would like to all over, essentially all over North Texas. That
yes.
would be 35 west and east, going north and south, I-30 and I-20 as well. They have not, I have not heard about the official implementation of that. You might just have a case, Trooper Dial, of drivers just not knowing whether it's prohibited in that area or not and just staying out of a left-hand lane to begin with.
Well, that too, and Texas also has a law that unless you are passing someone, then you're prohibited from driving in the left lane.
Okay.
So, you know, it could be
and that's
a deal.
Anybody.
That's anybody. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't make a difference if it's a truck or a car.
Right.
If you're not passing someone, state law says you cannot be in that left-hand lane.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we will get to more about Road Check 2009 here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about that, what you need to know, drivers, and we'll pick Monty's brain on that and find out his past experience with that and what you can expect for Road Check 2009 coming up in just over a month. Stand by for that and more of your questions and answers on the way as well.
At 800-288-9227. At Aerotruck. Law 800-288-9227 or Texas 68683 MRN as the first word in the first line. Gary and Eric,
and we have Trooper Monty Dial, retired from the Texas Highway Patrol. He is here in studio to take your questions. We're going to talk about CDFAs. Road Check 2009. That's coming up in just over 1 month, and in fact, coming up on our next Ask the Law, we will be that will take place actually 1 day before Road Check 2009 begins. We'll talk about what to expect, why they do such a good job in promoting this, and what they want you to know, and how they want you to essentially react to this notification. We want to remind you that the information and answers to your questions are up to date as of May 4, 2009. Can change without notice. Ask the Law, brought to you by all of us here at the Midnight Radio Network and Old Blue USA. Let's go to the phones at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Phil in Warren, Michigan. Phil, you're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Good.
Pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know about the fact that I had had two drunk drivings in 1 year. Okay, no, I didn't kill anybody, didn't hit anybody, didn't do anything. Okay, just had two drunk drivings, and my license taken away, and it's been about close to 7 years. I never even bothered to try to get it back. I was told that after 5 years or 7 years or something, I would be treated like I would be getting a brand new license, like a 16-year, excuse me, sir, like a 16-year-old or something like that, like getting a brand new license. How does that work?
Well,
the state of Michigan.
First off, Phil, what will happen is even though the convictions were that long ago, there's no way that you will ever lose them. When you go back in for a driver's license, they will go back, even though, you know, I think you said it's been 7 years since you had a license. What they will do is they will go back in and search their database and show that.
It's always
going to be there, but as far as what your insurance company sees, they will not see it. Law enforcement will be the only ones that will actually know that those convictions occurred.
Okay.
So are you saying you don't have a license now? And you?
No, I do not. I was just wondering if when I walk in, I mean, after.
Can you get a license now? Is what you're asking?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. I can. I'm telling you that I can get a license now. I'm just wanting to ask you that when I walk in, am I going to be treated like somebody that had their license taken away as a drunk driver? Or am I going to be treated like a brand new driver that's going to start a new license?
No. What they're looking at, Phil, is once the whatever sentence was imposed by the judge, once that has been taken care of, the state.
So that's gone. Yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, the state next looks at, okay, your license were suspended as part of the conviction for X number of years. Once that's all taken place, now then you walk back into the driver license office and you present your identification that they are required for you to present.
Right.
You'll take a written test, you'll take a driving test, and you will be given a license. Whether or not you get the same number, that's left up to the state of Michigan.
No, I don't care about that, but I was told that I would be treated as if I was a 16-year-old or whatever, getting a brand new license instead of a drunk driver that had their license taken away.
No, that part of it is always going to be with you.
And that conviction will always remain.
Yes.
It doesn't go away.
Correct.
But essentially, I mean, are those records sealed? Is that what happens here? Once he has fulfilled his obligations legally, do those records get sealed or how does it work?
After a certain period of time, as far as what the insurance company sees, if he wants to be a truck driver.
Right.
Those will no longer show up due to the time frame that
they
have occurred.
Okay.
But when the law enforcement community runs his name and date of birth or his driver's license number, they will go back and see that he had DWI convictions 7 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Brian. Brian, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Good. How
you're
you
on SLR.
Sir?
Good.
Good. Am I on live yet?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Good. I just want to say hello to Monty Dahl, and I really enjoy listening to your show. It's great that y'all always bring him on. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about Road Check 2009, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I just wonder if you could please identify some of the main items, key items that the Texas State Troopers will be focused on during the safety, you know, like on safety and logbooks and stuff. Also, second question I wanted to ask you, Trooper Dahl, is could you please share some of the main violations that you have cited, you know, drivers for during, you know, these types of side of the road checks?
Okay, thank you, and we appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Here we go, Brian. What they're going to do, normally, FMCSA or CVSA sends out a bulletin to all the states, involved in road check and says, hey, we want you to kind of pay special attention to these particular items. This year, they're going to be looking at hazmat again.
Okay.
So those drivers that are hauling hazmat, you're gonna get inspected
pretty much.
There's
if
no
you're
way
placarded,
around
it. You're gonna get inspected.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next thing is the logbook and seatbelt and let's see, logbooks, seatbelts, and
brakes?
Hazmat. Nah, the brakes usually that comes along with you know, when they actually do the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mainly going to be seat belts. That's the one I was trying to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Seat belts, hazmat, logbooks are probably going to be the key things that they're going to be looking for this year.
Right.
As far as what I have found in years past, I've always been of the opinion that it doesn't make a difference if you've got the cleanest truck coming through or if you've got the dirtiest truck coming through.
Right.
I can sit there and argue and say that I've taken brand spanking new trucks and pulled inspections and found things wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
I can take a dirty old truck that you think that this is nothing but a rolling bucket of rusted bolts,
mm-hmm.
and I can't find anything wrong with it.
Right.
It all goes down to the driver. If the driver takes the time to inspect his truck, if the driver or his company takes the time to do the maintenance on it, that's going to be the one thing that's going to reduce the number of violations that we find when we do the roadside inspections during road check or even during the other times of the year.
What were some of the experiences that you had with road check over the last couple of years? What were you seeing? Was it mainly driver violations, driver-related violations with logbooks, or was it equipment-related violations?
Probably the number one thing that we continually find, and this is going back to when DPS, when Texas first got started in this, brakes
mm-hmm.
is number one.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, people just don't check their brakes enough to make sure that they're properly adjusted.
What are you looking for when you, during a road check, what do you as a trooper look for as far as brakes are concerned? What's the first telltale sign?
Really, we don't know until we actually pull the truck over and we start the inspection.
Okay.
It doesn't make any difference if you're the big LTL carriers,
mm-hmm.
if you're the big over-the-road companies. You know, we pull them in. Road check is basically, hands off for everybody.
Right.
Like I say, and we actually get some of the big companies to send representatives out so that they can kind of get a feel of what's going on.
Right, right.
I know that, Yala, Roadway, UPS, FedEx, and the list just goes on and on and
right.
on and on.
Right.
That they send their representatives out there, and they'll actually watch us do the inspections.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, somebody's going to get a pretty good, you know what, when these
yeah.
guys get back in.
No kidding.
If we find, you know, if we find one of their vehicles with defects.
Right, right, right. I want to talk more here when we come back from the break about Road Check 2009 and why it is that they promote it like they do. It's pretty obvious and becomes clear to the industry, and you touched on it briefly in that segment there. So if you want to get on board right now, ask the law, 800-288-9227. You've got a question about hours of service, any other regulatory items, you can do so, 800-288-9227. You can also send us a text at 68683. Put MRN as the first word, and we're back in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. Drivers, we want to... It's the Midnight Radio Network, Eric Carley, Gary McNamara, and it is Ask the Law.
Yes, Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All your answers and information are up to date. As of May 4th, 2009, 800-288-9227. Let's go to the phones.
Go to Mel in Pennsylvania. Mel, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law.
Yeah,
welcome.
I'd like to ask the law something.
Okay.
A few years ago, I was out at Gateway, which is the... what's known as Gateway. It's the Pennsylvania Turnpike joins the Ohio Turnpike, coming out of Ohio into Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We went into a DOT check, and when the DOT trooper, was underneath my truck, he cited me for, had me shut the truck off, and checked underneath the truck, and cited me for loose steering. Now, I said, well, you have to have the engine run. He said, no, you don't have to have the engine run. This truck had air steering, air assist steering. Can I ask this DOT inspector, can it be checked with the engine on?
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on what he actually showed, because there are certain components of the steering system that in and of themselves, it doesn't make a difference if the engine is running or if the engine is off. Tie rod ends, pitman arm, things of those nature is a violation. The slack in the steering, if we're going to check that, then yes, the engine has to be running.
Yeah, well, he cited me for slack.
Hmm. Interesting.
No, if he cited you for slack in the steering, you have to have the engine running, because I've sit there and seen someone that has an assisted, whether it be air or whether it be the hydraulic pump.
Right.
You take and have the engine off, and I've sit there and you know saw it on that wheel, you know, a pretty good amount.
We'll get back more to that and what he can do about that in just a moment on Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.